This is an International Underground podcast. I'm Greg Boone. Welcome to the first in what will hopefully be a long series of podcasts. Our story this week comes to us from Seoul, Korea, where we are currently based. Many, if not all, popular guidebooks about Korea mention the Filipino market in Seoul's Haewadong, including Lonely Planet and Rough Guide. In a culture that emphasizes its so-called single race, Haewa sticks out as a landmark. Our team of journalists decided to venture out to the market one weekend, not to eat delicious Filipino food or buy Filipino goods, though we did do that, but to see what this market was all about. We wondered why this market only exists on Sundays. Why is it in Haewa, and is this just the tip of a massive iceberg? Of course, it was. Over the following 3 months, we spent a considerable amount of time talking to migrant laborers, community organizers, as well as fathers and mothers working abroad to help at home. In the next 15 minutes, you will hear from some of those people who are working on the forefront of an ongoing battle regarding the employment permit system, a battle complicated by language and cultural barriers. The system was put into place by a man many now know as the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon. According to our sources, Mr. Ban wanted to make Korea the premier standard for imported labor policy in the world. Despite what is written on paper, however, many problems still remain.
Complicated now because during the first year of implementation of the EPS.
This is Akil. He's the chairman of Sulyapinoy, a weekly newsletter serving the Filipino community in Seoul. He's talking about the process of applying to work in Korea through the Employment Permit System, or EPS.
You must submit your application, like for example in the Philippines, the Philippine Overseas Employment Administration, and in Korea is the HRDK, Human Resources Development of Korea. Then the if you are qualified, the host country will include your name to the rosters of job seekers, and the through internet they pass to HRD Korea, and then the employer will select from the roster of a job seeker. Then if the employer select you, they must provide the standard labor contract sent to the host country, and the selected job seeker will sign or reject depending on him. So if you reject, you have only two chance. If you reject once, then you have another one chance. But after that, your name will be removed.
Akil works in a factory that manufactures alarm systems for a company called Saecom.
Our work schedule started 8:30 in the morning and will be finished at 6:30 in the evening because we are under the 40-hour work week system implemented by the Ministry of Labor. We're in our particular case, we are lucky because our company, mostly of our co-workers are more educated than other companies, so we cannot experience yet the so-called discrimination like that. Okay. Unlike in other factories in the province, discrimination is very, very rampant like that. So in our case, we are lucky. We are lucky because every year our employees send us to hospital for medical checkup every year. So at least we are sure that still we are healthy. In other companies, maybe after 3 years, medical examination are not implemented in that company unless that the Korea Organization of Safety and Health will inspect in that certain factory. So in our case, we are very, very lucky.
He definitely isn't alone in his job quality, but he also isn't exaggerating when he says he is lucky. The overwhelming majority of people we spoke with for this story worked 10-hour days, Monday through Saturday. Many of them had to fight to have Sundays off so they could come out to Haewadong for the church and weekly Filipino market. It's hard to imagine, given all of our conversations, that Korea has some of the best legal protections in the world for migrant workers. Under EPS, a worker has a considerable amount of protection from the government.
Well, the Korean labor law prohibits the so-called discriminations against sex, nationality. The other one is also the Korean labor law limits every week the maximum overtime. The Korean labor law also, the Korean people, the Korean national and the foreign national have equal opportunities in that there is no, like for example, if you are a Korean, if you get a bonus of 1 million, supposed to be the foreigner, have also got a 1 million. Because if the foreigner got only 500,000, that is the Labor Standard Act defined as, that is one type of discrimination like that.
The problem is not the law. It's the implementation and enforcement of those laws.
That way. It just is, there are situations that emphasizes that. Like for example, in the work.
This is Marlene Lim, a leader in the Filipino community.
I can do the same work he can, but my opinion will not matter because I'm Filipino.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
His opinion will matter. Because or if you're a Mongolian or Thailander. Mm-hmm.
Or the minority.
I don't know if that's racial discrimination or whatever you think. It's. Yeah. I heard it several times, not only from one worker, but from so many. Others are engineers. Others have careers, but they won't be listening. Working here in the center, I've been trying to find out how do we bridge these gaps like this, because Korea is asking for workers.
Marlene has a history of working for the Philippine government, and in Korea, a significant portion of her job is negotiating between Filipinos and the Korean government. There's an old adage where if you have the facts, argue the facts. If you have the law, argue the law. If you have neither, holler. A lot of hollering often comes from both sides of the labor disputes between Filipinos and their employers. Marlene attempts to help the workers who have the law and the facts on their side argue them toward a suitable resolution.
While I do not always side on the side of the Filipino workers, if they are also wrong, I always tell them also, look, you came here to work. Mm-hmm. And then, by all means, please work. No work is easy. I said, work is a gift. So please, if you come here to work, then work. Now, if there are inhumane situations, inhumane treatment, then you have reason to complain. But for other things, I think little things, you know, you can settle it with yourself. Check, ask yourself. I wish there would be a dialogue between employers or the powers that be, or exactly the workers themselves. The law is, you have laws in more than enough. The problem is these employers do not implement that, and their best excuse is they are not aware of the law. It is your task to orient the employers, because I am teaching them right there and there. You are in the situation. You are the best person to know what is happening in your situation. I am not there. We cannot be there at the same time. So I teach them how. Do not fight with your employer. Ask politely. Ask, what is this? What is this? And before signing anything, please, if you don't understand, then don't sign. Rule of thumb, if in doubt, don't.
Marlene isn't alone in her work here in Korea. There are over 172 Filipino organizations throughout the country working together to help their fellow countrymen and women weather the day-to-day. One of the largest of those organizations in Seoul is the Filipino EPS Workers Association, founded by Rebinson, better known as Reeve Recania, and now headed by Marcelino Sardinia III.
My full name is Marcelino, Marcelino Sardinia, Sardinia III.
We talked to Recania and Sardinia one Sunday at the Hewa branch of Worry Bank, a branch that stays open specially to serve the Filipino community. On the main floor, Filipinos can be found each Sunday, sending money home to loved ones. And on the second floor, FIWA offers support and counseling to workers facing issues mostly related to contract violations. Here's Reeve.
Since 2006, the very beginning, we have registered members of more than 500. That was 3 years ago, or almost 4 years ago. So I think it's every day is growing. We cannot give you the exact numbers, but I think 1,000 members mostly from the different places. Yeah, but this is our main office. Our organization is recognized and registered with the Philippine Embassy. The Philippine Embassy is always consulting us about the issues and some problems. And also the Korean government recognizing also this organization.
There are some problems that cannot be resolved by the labor. So we do is we go to some migrant centers also, yeah. Like Korean NGOs that also helps in the problem. We are attached with the Hebadong Filipino community, Catholic community. So sometimes our problems that we can't handle very well, we refer to our parish priest here, Father Alvin, mm-hmm. and sometimes to our Korean NGOs friends.
What are some of the Korean NGOs that you work with?
Seoul Global. The Philippine Korean Culture Office, and of course the Philippine Embassy is very active in helping us migrant workers, especially our labor attache, attorney Dilmer Cruz. He's very active and he's doing his best to help us, particularly on labor related problems. And every Sunday, the Philippine Embassy, the Philippine Overseas Labor Office, they have the outreach program. They went to different places here in South Korea where Filipinos are present in that place, and they are consulting and helping our fellow workers. Catholic centers here in Korea are very active in helping us. Workers, mm-hmm. not unlike other sending country under the employment permit system, but I think the Filipino community is very we are united. We are helping each other. We have different organizations helping one another. Other nationalities, other countries, I don't think they have like that.
Filipinos constitute one of the largest foreign working populations in Korea, and they are among the most mistreated. While the Americans and Europeans who come here are coming either for military or white-collar jobs like teaching, the majority of migrant laborers are coming here to work so-called 3D jobs that are dirty, dangerous, and difficult, and held in lower regard. The discrimination Filipinos face in these jobs is not only worse, but more obvious than what other populations here face.
And we established this organization due to so many problems that we have encountered here in South Korea as a worker from the Philippines. We are under the employment permit system. It is a program of the Korean government under the Human Resources Development Center in Korea. And we have so many problems, no? Mm-hmm. Especially in our company. Mostly, our problems are underpaid. In particular, they're not following the basic minimum wage. Mm-hmm. That is implemented by the Korean government to our overtime. Some employers, they do not pay exactly. And of course, we have some problems also in our language difficulties. Then sometimes we suffered from what we call a discrimination. It's very common. And there's also problems on physical and verbal abuse. And mostly employers are not following the Korean labor law. In Korea, the employment permit system for me is a good system, but there must be a strict implementation of the Korean labor law. Right now, our organization is dealing with different problems.
Amidst all the discrimination and the problems facing the Filipino workers, one thing is clear. There's more than just a silver lining for this community. Here's Bevy Tamargo, editor-in-chief of Silyapinoy, the Filipino newsletter.
We don't have like an individualistic culture, so we've always had like a community-oriented culture. So it's like, I don't know, our nature is not like individualistic. It's not like a like help yourself kind of thing. So we've always been group-oriented. Like for example, Like in other countries, like the moment you turn 18, then you have to move away from your parents, right? But in the Philippines, you stay until for as long as you're single. So that's kind of like a group mentality thing, and like the family, your extended family, like your uncles and you know, your distant uncles, you're kind of close knit. So I guess that's the concept of it. It's like a group-oriented mentality.
So cultural mentality.
Yeah.
We talked to dozens of workers, community organizers, and volunteers, many of whom wore all of these hats at once. And the problems we heard them raise are not all that unique or even extreme compared with what other migrant groups around the world face. What is really impressive about this community is its ability to pull itself together and transform Heiwadong once a week into a mecca of support. This is the reason why the weekly Filipino newsletter, Sulia Pinoy, is so named.
Okay. This means, Suliap means glands.
Okay.
So, Pinoy means Filipino. So, the translation is, it doesn't sound right if you translate it directly, but, okay. It means like glancing or.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at the Filipino community or something like that. Yeah.
And what? You just listened to the first ever podcast from International Underground. You can read more about the Filipino community and related issues, subscribe to our news feed, and learn more about our organization at internationalunderground.org. Special thanks to Andre Francisco, Danielle Harms, and Anna Wygand for their help in reporting on this story. The choir you are listening to is the Filipino Choir from the Heiwa Catholic Church. They are releasing an album soon.